This is Akira Okuda from Combi, and you're listening to Full Service Radio. We've worked together, so we know how we cook and work and think about food, but like figuring out all the other stuff, you still have to now relearn. Like, how are we going to talk about how to respond to this email? Like, that's like not stuff you're used to doing. I'm Akira Okuda, half the owner of Combi. Combi is a Japanese sandwich shop in Echo Park, and we make traditional French pastries in-house and like California vegetable dishes with Japanese influences. I was born in Seoul, and I grew up there for 3 years, and then I moved to Tokyo with my family and another 3 years there, and then we moved to Connecticut. 3 years ago, moved to LA, and I spent the first 2 years going back and forth, New York and LA, and then by the time we finally found a space, I pretty much lived here full time. My parents had moved, so I was out here trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll travel, or maybe I'll get a job in another office that I don't want to do, or, you know, my parents very much encouraged that, to go back to work in a nice office job that paid a lot of money. It just didn't feel good. I didn't want to do it, and I couldn't see myself doing that for a long time. So I was working in a restaurant that's not anything of note. It was just like close to the house. It's 2004. It just felt good to work with food. I still don't know how to do anything. I was like, all right, I think of this, I can try this out. I want to go back to New York, or I'll go to Chez Panisse or something. So I like staged at Chez Panisse for a weekend, and I was like, this is awesome. They did not offer me a job. We narrowed it down based on where can we make a business that works with a breakfast lunch spot and like a place that we actually want to live. And LA seemed like the logical choice. It just seems to work here. People seem to, you know, do things in the morning. They go to bed earlier. Restaurants aren't open that late. And then the ones that are open kind of late are still like, you're leaving the kitchen at 10:30 to 12, which is fine. And then people just go home. Like, you're not 4 in the morning, which you just burn out. Even if you're 20, you're still going to burn out. Wake up, they go for a hike, they get coffee, and then the day sort of starts. And you're like, people are rolling in to eat at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock with other people. And that doesn't happen in New York. It's like, you're going to grab a coffee on the go from some place and just get to the office. And you think you're going to be the first one at the office at 6, and it's like, you're actually not even close to the first person. Or like, the example, I mean, I didn't work in an office for very long, but it would be like, if you're working out and you're going to be like the first person in the Central Park cycling, you're going to go at 5:30. And then there's like 20 other people already like cycling. You're like, this is a crazy place. When you're in New York, everyone likes to go to Chinese food on the day off or order Chinese food, and that's what you think is good. And most of the Chinese food is of a similar style in New York. Here, you can go to San Gabriel Valley and get food from regions you've never heard. Like, obviously, they exist, and people who've traveled through China who are experienced with Chinese cuisine know this stuff. But regular people who are like, I love Chinese food, there's a lot of stuff there that no one has even heard of. San Gabriel Valley is a whole thing on its own. Like, you don't even have time for that. Koreatown is another even bigger project that if you're just going to tackle Koreatown, like that could be the rest of your life, you know? And then you have Thai Town. And it's like every area is actual areas instead of like New York is just smaller and people think it's big. It's like Koreatown's 3 blocks. And like, that's it. And you have a certain types of food and that's it. You're not going to see the variety that you see in LA. I mean, the restaurant scene is different than New York. Like, the restaurant spaces themselves are bigger here, and most of the restaurants here are like, it's nice. You can spread out. You can bring 6 people. It's not a problem. You can bring a baby, and like, people are accommodating, and you can bring a dog, which is disgusting, but like, you can do it.
We
You know, Nick and I have designed the business to be actually sustainable, not just financially, but I mean from a work-life balance perspective. We carve out time for ourselves, which we had a lot of trouble in the beginning because we are used to, you have to be there so you can like get the respect of your staff to show that you're going to work harder than them. And I think it's kind of reverse. It's kind of like, all right, if we don't set the boundaries ourselves, why would they listen to us when then we tell them, you need to take these 2 days off. You don't have to be here. The restaurant will be fine. And if someone doesn't show up, we'll make it happen. We're not going to call you in. Like, we're going to stick to those rules and we'll make it work. Instead of like, all right, you go down the slippery slope. If we're going to start with that, okay, something goes wrong. We need to call this person in. And then it's just like, that just keeps happening. A lot of restaurants were closing. My friend had set up shop as like a hospitality guy, but for only billionaires. So he was basically like hiring people to be chefs at billionaire family. So I learned how to do that for 6 years, and that is a crazy world. I don't recommend it for people. You have to figure out what they want without them telling you what they want. And if you can't figure it out before that point, you're getting fired. You agree to a certain amount of money, let's say $120,000, which is a lot of money for a cook. And you're like, I've never made this much money cooking. Not even close. Like, this is four times what I make in a year. So you're like, all right, this is fine. I can do this all day. 18-hour days cooking. It's so much harder than being a line cook because you are now, you have to go get all the food. Because these people don't realize that you have to get stuff to cook for them to eat it. Like, that doesn't compute. So it's like, I want this. You're like, oh, I have to go get it. And like, that whole lifestyle is very odd to figure. You like, you can't wrap your head around it because you've never experienced that kind of wealth where the children are asking you to get water for them where they're next to the cups. And you're like, what? You're next to the water. And then they're like, I don't know where the cups are. And you're like, you're in high school. All these kids are, and even the adults, they don't know where the silverware is. They don't know where the cups are. They don't know where anything is. So sometimes they come in the kitchen before you and every drawer is open because they're looking for something. And it looked like a bear came through there. It's insane. But at the end of the day, you learn to deal with people's really, really weird asks. And fortunately, that translates really well to now having a restaurant where you're like, this is pretty easy compared to what I had to deal with.